Good afternoon. I call the meeting of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. For the record, it's 1:30 p.m. Thursday, March 26, 2020. We're in the Belch Room of Thomas Stewart Building. We do have a quorum to do business. To my far right, Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Rivak, and can we take a brief at ease? On the record, to my right, immediate right, Vice Chair Senator Stevens. Senator Costello is online. Good afternoon, Senator Costello. Recognize our staff today, Corey Cooper-Ryder, Carson Walters, and Mr. Grusendorf. 301 is on the agenda today. It was on the agenda yesterday. And just for an explanation, we are just a little bit busy here in the building, so we're seconded and requested to go back up to finance as I'm working on another very important piece of legislation for working Alaskans. And that's what took my time away. So we're back here today. We're going to get it done. And with that, is first up is HB 301, Electrician and Plumber Apprenticeships. This is the first hearing. It's my intent. This will be the only hearing. And the committee does have a CS, which will be adopted after the bill's presentation. Representative Shaw and Representative Fields, please come up, put yourselves on the record, and tell us what this does, please.
Representative Lighty Shaw, Representative District 26.
Zach Fields, House District 20. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the opportunity to present House Bill 301. This is a very simple bill. It protects the status quo for electrical, plumbing, and pipe fitting apprenticeships. You probably followed when the State Department of Labor put out some regulations in December over the Christmas holiday that would have radically reshaped how occupational licensing works for these very skilled trades that are inherently dangerous. The industry really weighed in on those proposed regulations. 375 Alaska plumbers, pipe fitters, electricians, contractors, contractor associations, training organizations and safety groups, including the governor's safety advisory council, all weighed in and said, don't create a workaround to apprenticeships for plumbers and pipe fitters and electricians, and don't increase the trainee to journeyman ratio. Unfortunately, the department kept pushing this. They said, we're going to pull this reg package, but we'll keep exploring it. They just had a workshop a couple weeks ago. It continues to be on the table. So we have worked, my colleague, my good friend, Representative Shaw, and I, and actually 17 other House sponsors introduced this bill. It passed, I think, within the last week. And the reason we've continued to move it forward is just to provide certainty to industry. You know, we're entering a period of very hard economic times. And I guess my view is the two things we can do are basically fiscal stimulus and a sound pro-business regulatory environment. And HB 301 is about predictability, certainty, and a good regulatory environment for our businesses to prosper. We heard good testimony in the House Labor and Commerce Committee from stakeholder businesses in support of this bill. And I'm going to turn to Representative Shaw for kind of its broader relationship to transitioning service members in the workforce.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I came on board with Representative Fields as a veteran. I'm all too aware that uncertainty in the workplace and lack of immediate transferable skills can lead to unemployment for many military members and their families. This lack of career options has led to many veterans struggling financially and on the streets. A little bit of a side note, as a Vietnam veteran, we had a program that was available to us when we returned from Vietnam. It was called the Transition Program, and that Transition Program allowed active duty military members to transition into any field that they felt like they wanted to go into, and they also had the opportunity to attend a full semester on military duty on the military dime. And so we've pretty much come full circle with HB 301, and what 301 does is it protects veterans seeking new careers as they reenter civilian life. There exist multiple programs to help transitioning service members enter skilled trades. Both the IBEW's Veterans Electrical Entry Program as well as the Veterans and Piping Programs help service families transition to the workforce. Our state has the highest population of veterans, as we well know, per capita, and this bill will support them in use of such programs. What the veterans electrical entry program, as well as the Veterans and Piping program, has done is they've allowed veterans, while on active duty, to transition into a career field on the dime of the IBEW at no cost to the veteran. This legislation is critical to ensure public safety for both our workers and those living in the homes they build. And as Representative Fields has said, we have 17 co-sponsors on this bill from our body, as well as many stakeholders across the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any questions on the bill before we go to the CS? Senator Stevens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's certainly honorable to try to help veterans transition into the workforce. But so I can understand this, what was the reshaping that the department wanted to happen? What was the radical reshaping you mentioned?
Sure. Through the chair, Senator Stevens, Zach Fields, House District 20. The department had basically two proposals, both of which were controversial and unpopular in industry. One of those proposals was they wanted to go from a one-to-one journey worker to trainee or apprentice ratio and go up to as high as 10-to-1. Now, of course, when you're thinking about electrical work, you know, plumbers and pipe fitters, where you might have a high-pressure boiler, for example, you might have oxygen lines in a hospital. I mean, these are really high-skilled jobs that you don't want to mess up, both from the perspective of public safety, but also from the perspective of workers who are on the job, who in that moment, if they do something wrong, could die. And so the 10-to-1 ratio, which would be inconsistent with federal apprenticeship rules, those apprenticeship rules at the federal level have been in place since 1937, that was very unpopular in industry. The other unpopular proposal was to say you can have a non-apprenticeship trainee program where workers get their 8,000 hours of experience outside of an apprenticeship program. Now, why is that dangerous? Well, what we heard from industry is registered apprenticeship is and has been regulated by the federal government for a long time, and there are standards of apprenticeship that outline in a lot of detail what the work processes are that are important for someone to be a skilled worker in these trades. And these really are very skilled trades. So if you had 8,000 hours in this kind of alternative trainee pathway that effectively would serve as a workaround around apprenticeship, you might have someone who's installing electrical boxes for 8,000 hours. I mean, you could do that. Would they have the skills to be a power lineman? Would they have skills to be doing utility work? Absolutely not. So I think the industry and the training organization's criticism of this non-apprenticeship trainee workaround was it had none of those standards. It would be like going to college for 4 years and the only class you took was, you know, one period of gym after another. And at the end you say, oh, I was in college for 4 years. Well, you didn't take all your classes. You didn't have that unified body of work, and there's no accountability. I'm happy to go into it in more detail if you'd like.
Well, that's quite fine. I appreciate Representative Fields. It helps me to understand what the changes were to be. Thank you.
Any other questions before we move to the motion for the adopt the CS? Senator Stevens?
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill 301, version 31, LS1506. /O before the committee as a working document.
Thank you, and I'll object for purposes of discussion on the CS, and either one of you just explain the changes to the committee. They're pretty straightforward. But
thank you, through the chair. Again, Zach Fields. There's really only one substantive change in the CS. It's a very technical change. The plumber utility trainee certificate of fitness is a limited license that is only required for installing utility sewer and water mains for work outside and up to a building. A plumber trainee certificate of fitness covers all the work from the street connection where the utility stops through the roof of the building structure. Plumber utility work is restricted to work performed up to the building property line. So this is this clarification was actually necessary to make sure that we are just instituting the status quo, because again, this is all about regulatory certainty for industry. And this one very narrow exception does just make sure that our contractors can continue operating the way they have been.
And could you give us an example from the street to the house as for this exemption? And I could jump in here if you're not. The technicality between the two, it's an inch and a half copper line coming from the street to the foundation, and from the foundation inside, that's where we want to maintain that years. That's where it gets very technical once we get past the wall. So that's the reason for the CS.
Through Mr. Chairman, yes.
Thank you. Questions? We're going to go to public testimony. I do remove my objection. We adopt the CS, and we're going to open public testimony. I only have nobody here for public testimony, just for questions only. Senator Costello, would you like to make any comments?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just appreciate that you're hearing this bill in these last moments of session, and I want to thank both the sponsors for bringing it forward.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Costello, for hanging in there and helping us along here. I'm going to close public testimony. Anybody in the room? Public testimony is closed. Senator Gray Jackson, question?
No question, just a comment, if that's
yes, ma'am.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, I just want to say that this is a good bill, and it has bipartisan support, and it supports the safety of our workers and our citizens. So I'm really thankful to the sponsors for bringing this forward. And on a side note, I really want to thank our chair for hearing this. He's left the Finance Committee dealing with some very serious matters right now, and I want to thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Senator Stevens, did you comment, sir?
Well, just a question, Mr. Chairman. Is the department going to speak to this at all? Are we going to hear their position, or are they totally running the other direction?
That's a good question. They're not online for questions, so.
They must understand.
Yes, they understand. I've been in contact with the commissioner.
Thank you.
Representative. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just all echo what Senator Gray Jackson said. Thank you for stepping out to hear this bill, and thanks for bringing it forward.
Thank you, Representative Shaw. Thanks for bringing this forward, and I really appreciate your comments on employment of veterans. We had another program that's still in place, Helmets to Hard Hats, the Marine Corps Commandant had instituted in the 2000s, and it's still going today. And anything we can do to help with the veterans. Thank you for bringing this forward and this bipartisan support. So with that, I'm looking for the will of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill 301, version 31-LS1506-0 from committee with attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations.
All right, thank you. This concludes today's meeting, and would you please stay behind to sign the bill package? We're adjourned at 1:45. Thank you.